Welcome to The Guide to Live. It's Friday, October 18th. This is your weekly hangout to join us to talk about live streaming with people who really know what it's like.
Because let's face it, no one really knows what you're talking about if you say you're a live streamer.
Yeah, but we do. So I'm Tara, and across from me is my co-host, Ben, and together we make up Your Guide to Live.
So on today's podcast, we discover that viewer-funded live streaming industries like TikTok Live and YouTube Live or Twitch have a decision to make.
Oh, yeah?
How best to approach accepting brand and advertising. So traditional ads and brand-funded entertainment on TV and the movies resulted in prioritizing content that meets the brand's requirements of a mass audience. However, as we discover, live streaming is based on a variety of streamers entertaining the same mass audience, but there's tens or hundreds of thousands of them.
Yeah, a
lot. The platforms need variety to work. So here's our question. Could adding brand money too fast break the whole live model, or can we have both with some smart, creative approaches?
Oh, yeah. Let's find out. How do you like that weather?
That weather.
It's getting crisp in the air. And
it's
cool.
Autumnal.
Autumnal.
That, I thought you were about to sing. Oh, come all she faithful.
Yeah, I usually do break into song because anything you say reminds me of a lyric of a song and then I want to sing it.
That's the problem of having an exceptional memory. Your memory's too good.
That's the problem with having ADHD. That's what that is.
It also manifests for you in compulsive or impulsive naming of people on TV shows and movies.
Actors in shows and movies. I'm like, oh, this is so-and-so from this show, remember? Oh, and this is this person from this show, remember?
What is going through your mind when that's happening?
As soon as I see their face, it's like facial recognition files. It's like a bunch of files of faces just go in my brain.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then these little like lines are pointing to different movies and things. I'm like, where did I see him first? Okay, and they've been in that, and they've been in that, and they've been in that, and that all happens within a microsecond.
Right.
Yeah.
So can I describe what's happening in my head when I'm watching the show?
Yeah.
It's just like I believe that the actor is the character, and that's it.
Yeah,
I'm just watching the show.
I get that too. I feel that same exact thing. There's like layers. There's like a layer.
Yeah.
So the first thing we described is like that is this like deeper layer of what's happening in my subconscious. My conscious brain though is teetering between that. It's like got one foot in that pond and then the other foot in my actual full consciousness. So yeah. It's like I cannot. It's a compulsion.
Yeah.
It's like a OCD thing. And it's another part of my neurodivergence.
In my experience, so watching a show, can I describe watching a show with Tara?
I was waiting. I thought that's what you were actually going to do when you said, can I tell you what's going on in my brain I'm watching a show?
And it's kind of like interesting. It's like being fully absorbed in another world and then having someone say, do you remember this other world that we were in 6 months ago
together,
or 6 years ago?
Yeah.
And that person was playing like an ood in Doctor Who. And now I've got a picture of, there's this one show I'm watching in the current time, and now I'm picturing them with like ood tentacles
ood
as
noodles,
well.
Ood yeah. noodles, oodles of noodles. Yeah. And here's the kicker is whenever I find a Doctor Who character person, an actor that's played a part in Doctor Who, I'm like, oh, that's like golden. I'm like, oh, this was so-and-so in Doctor Who.
Yeah. It's funny how different heads work, isn't it?
I know, it really is.
Like what triggers things?
Yeah, it is. Everyone is different. I was going to say that's what makes us all individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it feels maybe that's being celebrated more and more now, but it has been something that's lacked, particularly in education, in my experiences. Like everyone, well, maybe it's just because how people get educated is like the Industrial Revolution.
Well,
everyone,
standardized way of getting educated.
Yeah. Which yeah. makes sense. Like it's one solution to the problem of how do you teach a load of people
right.
the same stuff.
Yeah.
But it hasn't really been updated because the range of stuff and the things that people need seems very different now.
It is different. It's very much. I actually had a conversation with somebody the other day talking about different types of education within the United States. Mm-hmm. because they have children and they're thinking about putting them in like, they're young. They're not in.
They're in the like, what shall I do phase.
Yes, exactly. And they're like, well, there's charter schools, there's private schools, there's public schools, there's homeschooling. It's like, where do you go? Mm-hmm. It's like, they're all so different because, you know, and there used to not be those because it was like, oh, you have kids, they go to school. Now it's like, what kind of kid do you have? What are your child's interests? What right. type of personality does your child have? What best fits your child's educational needs? You know, uh-huh. it's like the Montessori method. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Variety would be nice.
I wish they had that when we were growing up.
Maybe AI ends up solving this because in theory it could provide like a totally personalized experience tutor. Of education.
Yeah. You could have your own personalized yeah. tutor.
There's still the problem as like being a kid of the bit of like learning how to learn. That still seems like such a missing piece.
That is something that I don't think you can learn from school. Like that's something that I think needs to be instilled when you're young
right.
from like your family. It's like a thing you learn because right. you need to learn as a child from like, don't touch fire. Uh-huh. You know, like that's you're learning. So it's like there needs to be.
But that's learning not to do something right. wrong.
But
I'm saying
also
the skill of like, I need to learn constantly
it's
through my life.
Critical thinking skills, yeah. and I think that's the thing that we're yeah, not. Right. That's what's not being taught in schools.
Okay.
Is
yeah.
the critical thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. It's like it's left up to the family to teach that to their children now.
Yeah.
But yeah. What, where
that
do we go? All about live streaming.
All about live streaming. That idea of it being individualized,
yes.
that is, it is reminiscent of what is the core underlying thing that drives live streaming.
Yes, it is a very individualized thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like that's a little bit of what makes it special when you really think about mm-hmm. it.
Absolutely.
We talk about the idea of monoculture is dying.
Yes.
Which is a very big statement.
It is a big statement, but it is true.
Yeah.
I see maybe it every we can, day.
Maybe
I see
we can,
it dying every day.
Maybe we can break that down in a second,
yeah.
like what we mean by that. But that concept that live streaming is appealing to a lot of separate individual
right.
tastes
yeah.
is kind of what makes it magical. The idea that you would have tens or hundreds of thousands of live streamers mm-hmm. That are... If you think of it from just a pure industry standpoint, they're providing entertainment to masses of people.
Yeah, they are.
Versus what came before is a small number of people or shows providing entertainment to a large number
right.
of people.
Yeah.
That's the change that's
yeah.
happened.
And you know what else is changing is those eyes that are watching the shows that are being provided versus watching the live streams. There's more eyes switching to the live streaming now. That's taking over mm-hmm. the other form of entertainment.
I've seen some numbers that it's comparing countries who are established in live streaming and how like their box office, their traditional box office number, which was once the large pie of where money was coming from, entertainment, is now tiny. And all of the money is in live streaming
yeah.
and not gaming live streaming only, even though that in itself is massive
because yes.
it was early, but like live streamed entertainment across the board. Like that's where people's dollars or whatever currency they're using is going right now.
Yeah.
And the US and like the UK is rapidly following it.
Yeah. And I think the reason why is because like you said, there's the masses are switching to live streaming, but that because it's not like there's a mass of people watching one or two things.
Yeah.
There's a mass of people finding their own little niche.
Yeah.
And they're watching it. And there's more of there's more like individualized entertainment out there.
Yeah, it's cool.
So
what's your favorite thing
like
right
a
now?
Glove.
What's your favorite thing?
Okay. Something I've been watching for a while that I'm enjoying is The Fronk. I've okay. watched The Fronk from just develop over time. And right now what he's doing is cutting edge. It is so amazing.
Right.
And it's just like every night I'm like, what? I don't know what to expect. I know it's going to be good.
Have you seen his new intro? He's got like a, it's like, well, you have to just watch it, but just make sure you're there at the start of Fronk shows to experience it. Hey, that's the beauty of live mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. But it's like a half part animated, part video, literal
right. it's
intro
a hybrid.
Video sequence that he kind of like comes out of. It's like kind of Simpsons-y with clouds sometimes.
Yeah. It's an experience. If you are looking for a new experience on live streaming that's kind of interactive and immersive, it's very interactive and very immersive. This is it. The other thing I think that I am finding is ASMR. Like I keep coming back to ASMR.
Uh-huh.
I get away from it because I can only handle it for a little while. But I do love it. And the reason I keep coming back to it is because there's new triggers that keep showing up out of nowhere. Like people keep inventing. The creativity within that niche is so like mind-blowing. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I wasn't even expecting you to kind of go for like the whole, like a whole niche like ASMR as an example of something that's kind of you're getting back into.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's then hundreds or thousands of amazing ASMR artists who are doing it. And you can kind of take your pick through this time.
Exactly.
So variety is king.
I love it. I love variety.
Yeah.
I'm not the kind of person, and I think a lot of people are like this. I'm not saying, you know, I'm special because I think that I'm just like a lot of people out there. I can't just watch the same thing all the time. Right. I need variety to be stimulated.
Yeah, options as well.
I love options.
Yeah.
And I love to get new things served to me that I've not seen before, which is why I love the platform of TikTok live. That's like,
or just like live streaming in general where you're interacting. Here's the part that we're not really talking about, which plays into it a lot, is the community element, that it is not just mm-hmm. passive viewing.
Mm-hmm.
It is building communities and being part of communities and friendships and things like that.
Oh,
and there
God.
Is
has
to be a limit to the scale of that. Like as a mm-hmm. host or as a community leader, a live streamer, that's what you are. You're a community leader.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't have 10 million people in your stream.
You can't because
you can't, you're not able
to host
that. You
can't manage that. You could not manage that. And in order to do that, you'd have to hire someone to do it. And therefore it defeats the purpose of why all those people are there to begin with. It's because they want that connection with the host.
Yeah.
Direct.
So the whole business model is that there is way more entertainers
mm-hmm.
in comparison to basically all traditional media up until now, which is designed to get eyes, but there were way less channels, literally channels of entertainment and different shows or entertainers.
Like your tubes.
Yeah.
You like to call those tubes.
The tubes
out to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pipes of entertainment. There
exactly.
was very few of them.
Now there's
cajillions. I think there are reasons for it as well.
Yeah.
Like it's how the models are funded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if live streaming is essentially currently basically 100% viewer funded.
It's viewer funded. Yes.
Whether that's subscriptions in a Twitch, mm-hmm. like Twitch kind of way, or gifts on a TikTok live kind mm-hmm. of way, or like.
Or subscriptions on both.
Both. Like, kind of some version of. I was just using those two as examples. Like one is heavier as the
on
primary.
One side,
yeah.
Yes.
In the same way as Netflix as well, mm-hmm. up until very, very recently. Was only subscription based. What has happened in the entertainment industry up until now is branding and advertising money is the primary source of income.
I feel like weren't television shows like basically written and designed for advertising?
I mean, you watched Mad Men. We watched a big chunk of it together, but I know you've seen the whole thing, and isn't that the story?
Yeah, so it was radio, like radio shows first, wasn't it? It's like the radio.
So this
shows.
Is the history. Okay,
yeah.
Bing, history lesson.
So radio shows came out, and they had these shows designed around products, and they would do a little skit, show off the product in the skit of why it would be relevant and why it would change your life, and next thing you know, I got to buy that product. But it entertains you, and then it also teaches you. Here's a product that's going to make your life so much better.
Yeah.
Or here's a picture of a lifestyle that you should strive to achieve.
Yeah, and I know Mad Men itself is a TV show, but they were depicting
based off of a true story of what really happened in history.
Yeah, and the advertising agencies or the Mad Men, because they lived on
they worked on Madison
Avenue. Yeah, in New York, like that was where the industry. first popped up, because it didn't exist one day and then it did exist.
It became a form of like art,
yeah,
using manipulation with with photos in action movies.
Yeah, that it show does a good job of like kind of I mean, they're like terrible people as well, but there is this like beautiful bit where they are kind of like mixing
it's
art
so
and like
art.
Comic.
It's like it is art.
And they but they also are like stepping way over the line of mm-hmm. what's appropriate, because they don't know where the line
exactly.
is.
Exactly. It's like, oh, we've just discovered this massive way of manipulating and influencing the masses to yeah. buy things
yeah and it just started off like it was like the basic thing. This is like, just put yeah. a sexy lady on a thing smoking a cigarette. It's yeah. like, that's your advert.
Yeah.
And it like worked for a minute.
Yeah. And that's why it's different from movies, because like movies are different. Like movies were entertaining, but then TV came around and uh-huh. it was always like
yeah.
it's like, oh, are you hungry? Well, here's some delicious coffee.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah brand, you know, whatever.
So it's just... I was just looking up while you were talking there.
Yeah.
You
can multitask.
Wow. Yeah, I can. Sometimes. So there's a study from the Journal of Advertising back in 2018 highlighting the fact that ad-supported content tends to prioritize broad appeal, often sacrificing
yeah.
creative risks in mm-hmm. favor of maintaining high viewer numbers.
Yeah, well, that makes
that
sense.
That checks out,
yeah,
right?
It makes sense.
Thinkbox's 2019 TV report showed that TV shows designed to cater to advertisers often use safer, more predictable content that attracts mass audiences, which could stifle unique storytelling and niche content. So none of that is wrong. That's mm-hmm. like, they are, the model is they take money from somebody who's trying to sell a product
mm-hmm.
and the trade is the money goes into making entertainment that entertains as many people as possible through that one channel.
Right. That big pipe.
But don't you know, like reading these things out, this seems counter to live streaming.
Yeah.
If live streaming's basic business model is lots of different niche things to entertain
right.
the same mass of people.
To entertain the masses individually.
Yeah. Yeah,
or semi-individually.
Like semi-individually.
On a community level. Because it's like, go find your community. Go uh-huh. find your people. And that's what it is. It's like, it's almost like tribes. It's like tribal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you have the tribal leader, which mm-hmm. is the host. And then you have your tribe, which is the community. And it's like, it can only be so big before it gets imbalanced. And
right.
that's just human nature. This is like
yeah.
sociology.
Uh-huh.
You know, like... there is a science behind the amount of people. So I think that this does check out 100%. And this is almost like the we always go back to the 1,000 true fans.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a guy called Kevin Kelly, who was the editor of Wired magazine.
Okay.
Theories based on the idea that most people will have 1,000 fans who are extremely devoted to their work. He was projecting into the future.
Okay.
And the theory is like, if a creator has 1,000 true fans who are basically defining a fan as someone who's willing to buy everything they produce, that, and they can earn an average of $100 profit from each fan per year, they can earn a sustainable income. This is literally what we did on the calculator last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, this is what...
That's $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
1,000 fans each.
I see
each
this pay. Happening already.
I would say we currently work with... hundreds and hundreds of people who are literally
doing this
doing
right
that.
Now. It's this.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so this person predicted this.
Uh huh.
2008. Did they get struck by lightning or
yeah.
something? Because they are dead on.
Yeah.
Did they have a crystal ball?
Oh yeah, it says here in their Wikipedia page, also known for time travel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Time well, traveled into the future of 2030, saw the future, and then came back, and then wrote it in Wired magazine. They'd intended to come back to 2024 and do it over live stream, which would have been more impactful,
right.
but they had to go back to 2018 when it was still print magazines. And
don't believe what he's saying right
yeah
now. he's joshing you.
Yeah. So is it that, I mean, it does say an average of $100 profit from each fan
right.
per year. So
on that, average though, that's average
on yeah on average. But here's the thing, it was difficult previously. If you take almost any other kind of art form or any kind of, it's not an art form, it's an entertainment form.
Yeah.
it was hard to get $100 profit out of it because there was a lot of costs involved as well.
Oh my God, the overhead.
The overhead was massive. Yes. Whereas live streaming, the overhead now is basically zero as long as you have an iPhone or you have an iPhone.
A device.
A device.
A streaming device.
I don't like to say it's zero, but it basically, if you have a phone, you can do it.
Yeah, it's not zero because you have to have a phone. You have to pay for the service. You have to pay for the electricity to charge it. You have to pay for the electricity to light your room.
Yeah,
like
compare that to being a musician, even on the lowest level.
It might as well be zero, right?
Yeah, or a comedian or somebody, whatever. It all had costs.
Yeah. Hey, are you a musician or an artist out there that wants to go on the road and tour again? Guess what? You can do it from the convenience of your own home.
Yeah, you can be home for dinner every night because it's upstairs.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay for a tour manager.
Yeah, and the tour manager can also be a live streamer.
And talk about their life.
And talk about, they have fascinating insights into travel and exploration around the world. Like this, their skill can still be applied.
Niche. Yeah.
It's the skill. It's being communicated and the value exchange is in a different arena. Mm-hmm.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It is so cool.
So this is maybe another industry warning. It's like...
Can I just remind you what this... Okay, so I get this like big vision in my head of like a memory of what we experienced when we went to the Coca-Cola factory. When they opened up those doors and they were like... Try any Coca-Cola product from anywhere in the entire world.
Yeah.
Remember, we were sick afterwards.
Yeah.
But it was like, that's kind of what I think about when you're talking. Like, that's what I see. It's like all of those varieties of sodas or like different types of live streamers out there.
And why does it work? It's because it's like we said, literally at the start of this, everybody is so different. And it's recognizing that everybody is different. Because making something that goes to the masses is literally... the mainstream and therefore diluted in terms of the actual core quality of the thing because it's intended to appeal to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. It's not its fault. It's blander.
It's just designed that way because it has a target audience to hit. It has like a mass target.
Yeah.
And so it's designed that way to hit as many like eyes and grab as much attention as possible from the masses.
Yeah.
It's like a big gamble, but because it's a gamble, they're like, okay, well, what's the safest bet? Let's make it this way and this way and this way so that we know for sure that it's possibly going to be really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then with that being said, it's just like, okay, well, now you've kind of totally changed the whole storyline and the way it looks and feels. And it's not even it's just designed for mainstream.
I mean, we even did this. So on a small scale, but on live, we ran the Match Battle League, which was a league which we got sponsorship from G Fuel.
Yep, we sure did. It was like a
nine week Match Battle campaign. Yeah. People had jerseys. The prize was $10,000.
Yes.
Provided by G Fuel, sponsored by G Fuel. The Match Battle League sponsored by G Fuel, right? And that was cool, except even with that relatively small partnership, it came with requirements in that the final minute needed to be called. I forget, like the
G Fuel minute,
the G Fuel power minute power or minute. Something.
Yeah, it was like the last minute of every.
Which is fine. Yeah. That's what they're paying for. Except what it does on live streaming is make it feel more inauthentic than it actually is. And I would argue, I think the viewer, it part of the reason why it didn't kind of like connect is because we started to put these rules in place to please the person or the brand that was looking to put the money in. Right. It's like the metrics and the measurements all need to be different and the requirements from the brand need to be different.
Yes.
Might be more passive. Just drinking G Fuel.
Yeah.
Honestly,
they think that that is what would have been more powerful. Like, I don't think you have to push products down someone's throat to sell them. If you like them and you enjoy them and you feel like you can endorse that product, then you just need to have that product present during your experience with your community, and they will naturally say, what are you drinking there? Or someone might ask, or they just might go and get it and try it. It's like, because they were curious themselves. There you go. That's how it works.
It's also pressing up against the viewer-funded model as well. That the matches and the excitement being generated is something that the viewers were paying to be part of. It almost highlights the difficulty of putting it in. So when you were talking just then, I looked up two more studies.
Okay, Tara. What did you look up?
So these ones are on the other side of it. Like, what impact does the viewer-funded model have?
Okay.
So a 2022 Pew Research Center study on Twitch. They found that creators with direct funding from viewers were more likely to create personalized and community-driven content and felt less pressured to chase trends and mass appeal.
Okay. All right. Well, that seems normal.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense in itself.
It's like entertain the community that you and that you started off entertaining to begin with.
And in itself, actually, that's why it's been difficult to be a live streamer because that's what makes it successful. But if the whole zeitgeist is switching, like the whole business model of live streaming needs these people.
Yeah.
They need people who are likely to create personalized community driven content and feel less pressure to trace trends and mass appeal, because mass appeal would equal a lot of viewers being entertained by a few people, which is counter to the whole
model. Exactly.
All right.
It wouldn't work.
Here's another one. A study from Digital Culture and Society 2020 observed that platforms relying on subscription models like Netflix produce more genre-pushing content, and because they're not tied to advertisers' demand, but rather to viewer satisfaction.
So that's I like that. That's one of the reasons I stopped watching like cable television and switched to the streaming platforms to watch those types of shows, because I like certain things that I didn't find on the other network television.
And Netflix is a good example. It's only really in the last, what would you say, year that they've added adverts in. They didn't take advertising money at all until recently. It's like 10 years or however long they've existed.
Oh, they've existed for way longer than that, I think. At least 16 years.
So that's to say that they've decided to add it in, but that is because they've built a trusted core user base who are going on and expecting the quality. And now the question they're going to have to answer is, like, does the range and the variety stick around?
Right.
Now they're taking branding and advertising money.
Because, like, well, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like some of the shows that I really liked, that because Netflix, as an example, was always pushing the envelope with, like, kind of weird stuff. And then, you know, I think now there's less tolerance for that now. And like, they will cut that show out of there. It's just I don't see those shows anymore. Like one show I really loved, it was the same people who did Dark, you know, the German show Dark about time travel.
The one where there's like a gravity pool or something in under the ground, and they time travel.
Yeah, they go for it's like a cave, and if you go in this one door, you go out 33 years into the past. If you go here, you go in 33 years.
Oh yeah, it was a really specific time.
Yeah, it was like different. It was different. Yeah, but they had this other show. It was so cool. It was like 18 something. It was like they were all on this like Victorian cruise ship. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool. And then
it got canned, didn't it?
It did not get picked up.
There was articles about that. It was like that. It was too risky.
Too risky
for whoever was deciding.
And so that I think that is where having the brand partnership or the brand sponsorship is like kind of affecting it a little
bit. Maybe leaning on them to make it's like they need to hold more viewers on single shows for longer. So when the ad comes up during it, the ad's more valuable.
Something. Wow.
You just got attacked by a cat.
I got attacked by a cat.
With a cat.
By a cat. I got attacked by a cat from a cat. And if you're wondering how that's possible, it's because we have a stuffed cat, which is Leo the lion.
Yeah.
Is it Leo or Leon?
I think it's...
Is it two of them?
Leon. It's the daddy gift on TikTok Live.
Leo's big one and Leon's the little one, isn't it?
You won it at a gift at Global Life Fest.
You won it and gave it to me like we were at a fairground.
That's true.
Yes. It was so romantic.
And it's Leon, but he's got a leather collar and a gold... TikTok logo,
and he's on the shelf behind me. And then our actual cat came up and just knocked Leon onto me. So the cat knocked the cat onto me.
Yeah, studio cat.
Studio. kitty cat.
So what are we saying here? Because this is kind of pretty deep stuff.
Well, there's pros and cons to both, but it seems like there's more cons with one than the other.
Well, it depends what you want.
It depends on what
the
want.
Goal is.
If
I guess
looking
maybe...
for creativity and creative control as an artist, delivering to your actual audience,
uh-huh.
then I feel like getting the advertising based model is probably not best for you.
Yeah, it definitely gets some. It's definitely going to set up a set of requirements.
It just depends on what you want to do.
But I think this is more like an industry call out. I feel like we've done this twice now.
The industry call outs. Here we go again.
I think we need to cautious about it, because our experience of just adding even some branded money into a live stream environment definitely messed with the viewer funded side of it, and it changed the entertainment. Here's a newer report from Streamlabs. Report from 2023, so just last year, showed that live streaming's growth, particularly on platforms like Twitch, is fueled by the sheer variety of content. Over 70% of Twitch users stated that they mm-hmm. watch specific streamers because their content aligns with their personal interests.
Yep, individualized.
Uh-huh. So you need loads and loads of them. You get the mass market from an industry perspective by having loads of them.
Yes.
If each of them is trying to please an advertiser, then they broaden out their audience, and it kind of, you know, there's only so many viewers. So,
exactly.
So you either have one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is a fun topic today.
Yeah. It is a fun topic.
Oh,
it really is.
I mean, well, to advertise or not to advertise.
To advertise or not to advertise, or how to do it.
Right.
I mean, maybe advertisers need to trust the creative, and this move to there has been a shift, like UGC short form.
Right.
Has been,
yes.
Those creators have been well accepted, and there is brand acknowledgement that you get lots of people to talk about your message, but to some extent you trust what each of them does in their own
you
right.
You trust that they're the expert in their field.
Yeah. And you don't necessarily control the quality of the content, even the quality of the video or anything, because you've trusting that person can hit their niche audience 1,000 times better than the brand ever could. Nice stasis.
I just sneezed.
Yeah.
No, they do. They know exactly how to hit their audience more than the brands do, because they're with their community all the time.
Uh-huh. I guess the only problem there is on the UGC world, the money that they were receiving as creators for video views was just coming from the platform, which in itself was either funded by the platform or by a brand.
Brand, yes, exactly.
Whereas live streaming is exactly the same, other than the money comes from a viewer to the person and splits with the platform point.
Which that reminds me of, because I know a lot of people who were in with the with TikTok's creator program where mm-hmm. they were getting funded for their videos. Right. I know they were like, oh, we're doing great, we're making so much money. And then all of a sudden, over time, as the platform got bigger, the amount of money they were getting was smaller and smaller.
Right. And the fund itself dries up. And that's true on all different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So they prime the pumps by putting in a fund, which goes to the creators, with the idea that then advertising.
Prime the lines.
Those pre-rolls that you see on Instagram mm-hmm. or YouTube, TikTok, YouTube as well, but TikTok that shows up. You know, sometimes when you log in, there's an ad there. That revenue is going through and going out to creators based on those programs.
Yeah.
So, again, now the content has to appease the person that's trying to sell the iPhone or the this or the that.
Yeah.
So the control steps in there.
Yep.
I guess maybe ultimately we're in a unique position in history.
We're in a crossroads.
It's like an inflection point where we could go either way. One, embrace viewer funded 100%. So when a brand comes and says, I'd like to give you loads of money for access to your audience,
mm-hmm.
the platform and the streamer can say, I'm fine, thanks, because I'm already being paid by the same audience you want access to.
Yeah, I know.
Don't worry about it. Maybe that could be it. That is the inflection point. We could go that way, and it's fine. It's fine for things to change. That could be way better.
Mm-hmm.
It could be different. It could be way worse. we haven't really tried it, but it seems like it works. So embracing it is key.
We're in the discovery phase right now. We are testing it, A and Bing it. You know, people are, I've seen some people who are subtly showing off products in the background or using it or whatever. And I have some people who are just like, I've seen they're just pushing it through, like right down your, like in your face, like, hey, buy this. This is the greatest product ever.
Yeah. I mean, the shop streams definitely like that. It's designed like shop stream is like QVC, QVC on television. Like that is well understood shopping television.
It is.
Which isn't entirely, and we're not even including that in this discussion.
It's completely different. It is someone selling a product live there, like with the intent to sell it to someone.
Yes.
Watching.
With a viewer, is their intent is to buy something. It's like,
it doesn't have to be someone who's been in the community forever and grown this like relationship with the host.
Right. Yeah. You know? It's not entertain. It is entertaining. It is not entertainment. And the, maybe that's not true, but the way that you're funding the person who's entertaining is through immediate transaction of product, which is totally cool. And it's awesome that that exists.
Yeah.
Here, this is separate. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's more of the affiliate model. Yeah. That one. But that's another way of getting,
but you're kind
of monetizing.
You're
well.
Kind of saying like you could see a way that you, because live streamers are so influential, they might not have a massive audience, but they are professional at what they do because they have their thousand true fans.
And
right?
They, yeah. And but, those audience members are very, they feel very close to the host.
So having a, it's like having a product in the background suddenly becomes as influential to those people, if not more than like the biggest Hollywood star back in the 90s drinking the drink on live on television. That would have been the same level of endorsement.
It's, this, it's like the equivalent. Yeah. It could be the same equivalent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah.
That's what I want the study on that. Yeah. The power of somebody drinking a Coca-Cola on stream now to their thousand true fans who buy everything.
I would like to use Marky Mark's Calvin Klein ad in the 90s. Can we do that?
That's burned into your retinas. Ooh, Marky Mark.
How many?
Did he wear tight pants?
Yeah, tidy whitey. No, they weren't tidy whiteys. They were the boxer briefs, the tight ones. Mm-hmm. How many people? Because I know males, females, everyone. All of them, everybody, bought those afterwards. They were like, I want to wear those too.
Oh,
those
I didn't cool. know that. I didn't know that.
The Calvin Kleins. Yeah. Do you remember when Seinfeld, when it was kind of like that was when Kramer got picked up. And
that era.
Yeah. And that was kind of like what happened. Marky Mark kind of like, it was like a thing about Mark. It was the Easter egg to Marky Mark, I think. Let me know if you all agree with me on that. What do you think? What's your opinion?
Yeah.
Do you think my hypothesis is accurate there?
And Jerry Seinfeld, if you are a listener, because he might just be getting super into live streaming because he's advanced.
Oh, yeah.
Could you just let us know if that was a...
Or Larry David.
Yeah.
One of you two. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. Someone like Jerry Seinfeld getting into live streaming. You know, there is definitely something that we've experienced that people who are exceptionally good in other markets or other formats struggle to switch over to live streaming just because there's so many different, it's a different framework.
It is. You have to completely change the way you've done it before. You have to unlearn what you know and relearn something new.
Yeah. And it seems the same, but it's not the same.
It isn't.
I wonder if someone like that, like a Jerry Seinfeld, who is like clearly understands the craft that they're in really well, would migrate into this new system, or whether
like
they would be so embedded.
There. Are you challenging Jerry Seinfeld now?
Yeah. Okay. Now it's official.
Jerry, throw down. If you're out there, we would like to challenge you to be a live streamer.
Yeah.
Like not on Twitch. Maybe, unless you're
we're talking
gaming.
Entertainment live streaming is going to obviously comedy, but it can't be stand up. It's got to. Yeah, have all the engagement.
It has to be interactive comedy. Let's say if you
see, it's like, here's the thing though, how do you measure it? Because they would naturally get 4,000-5,000 people in a room simply by their star quality. So it would be like you'd have to test it out over time. It's like, can you maintain that? Yeah. Is it genuinely interesting once you get over the like celebrity
hump. Because a lot of people are
hump.
Just going to stay there and watch for a long time because they're like, I cannot believe that this person is right here, right now in front of me.
But that's what I mean. They would maybe he would get 5,000 or like it would peak up to 10,000 and then drop down a little after a while. But eventually, if they went on and did it well, he could have 100,000 people watching. That's the difference.
Yeah, or it'll just trickle down to like maybe 1,000, 1,500 if the content doesn't start catering towards the platform, which is like engaging with the audience.
Yeah.
Which comedians and do engage.
I know, it's the same. It's like the heckling, but different.
It's like you have to just, we worked with the Laugh House with those comedians and, you know, taught them about live streaming and how you translate the interaction you get from a live stand-up show to like what you're doing in front of your camera, in front of your phone.
Yeah.
To like the TikTok live audience. And it's like, you know, it is different. It's different techniques you have to use. And you have to like train your brain to think, okay, when I see those little hearts floating up, those are claps.
Yeah.
You know, those are someone clapping. Or I get a troll. Oh, there's a heckler. Yeah. There's a heckler there. Yeah. Can I feed off this heckler?
But
should I ignore him?
It seems also like the best live performers are emotionally impacted or get the same endorphin or the chemical hit from the hearts coming up or the comments that a live performer would get from the claps and the whoops and the laughs in the room. And that in itself is driving the energy of the show. So I think being able to actually have that physical human chemical response to the applause or the communication you're getting is actually part of being good at it. Yep, it's like a trained thing.
Yeah, that's why it's important to understand what all of those metrics are and how they translate to real world metrics. Of like what gives you those dopamine hits?
Well, that
while
sounds
you're
like
performing.
This sounds like a whole other topic. That's so why don't we wrap up for today?
All right. Well, and it's been a great time today.
Yeah. Industry, we've got lots of questions to answer here. How as a way forward? Yeah.
And if you have those questions too, and you're interested, join us. Come along with us on our journey to find these out. We're discovering things new all the time. And that's what we do. We bring it here to this podcast and we discuss it. And, you know, it's a growing organism here.
Yeah.
This industry.
See you next time, Tara.